Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello and hello to our friends jumping on in New York at 96.5 WCMF Rochester's Classic Rock. Also Rock 103 Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hello, Fort Bragg. And our friends at C-Rock 103 in Lexington, Kentucky. Big show, bad jokes coming up. The return of Ted versus the FCC. And our question, what is the story you tell where alcohol was involved? A couple that we've gotten to so far. A woman downs a whole bottle of cognac at the Beijing airport because they were not going to allow her to take it on the flight. She drank it, basically started screaming, passed out for 7 hours. Family came and picked him up. And then police in Pennsylvania asking for volunteers who want to get drunk and then have the police officers train on DUI traffic stops.
Sure.
So basically, you can drink for free, but you need to get a ride home. So our question, what is the story you tell where alcohol was involved? 844-999-OLA.
One quick comment, just to the point. It says, I got drunk off of tequila and started comparing breast sizes with all of my friends that were at my house. We're all males and don't have breast. Hello, Kristen. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
I lived in the Bahamas for 4 years.
What?
And yeah, don't get excited. It wasn't that cool.
So these commercials I'm watching that look so wonderful, you're going to say no?
Why was it not cool?
Resort.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a resort and a Navy base.
Is it a big difference or a slight difference? You didn't have the water slides and all that stuff at the at the base?
Huh. I tried to get a water slide and they wouldn't put one in.
I'll be damned.
Did you enjoy Goomba punch? Goomba every goddamn thing?
Goombay smashes?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I bartended down there for a little bit too.
Oh,
so
boy.
I made Goombay smashes.
What's a Goombay smash?
Bad stuff. It's pretty much just sugar and a little bit of alcohol.
Goombay is a drink. Goombay is like a soft drink they have. Well, they sell it in cans or something like that. So picture Hawaiian punch, but sweeter, right?
So like Squirt, is it carbonated?
It's not carbonated, I don't think. And then what, you add what, vodka, I'm guessing, something like that to it?
No, it's a spiced rum and white rum.
Yo!
Nice.
Okay.
It doesn't sound bad.
It's a hangover.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, we went on vacation to Nassau, which was the resort, and then we decided to go to a club in Atlantis, which is swanky, and you know you have to pay.
Miles stayed there.
I've been to Atlantis. Yeah. I took my kids there when they were younger.
It's cool. It's a nice little spot, but we had to get a cab and go over there because that's not where we stayed because we're not made of money. So we plan on getting a cab, and we were there with about 8 people total. So one of our people decided to pregame just a little too hard, and he decided to get drunk. So when we were going to leave, he was pretty drunk, and I still, said he's fine. So we got in the cab, and before we got in the cab, we took a last shot. That was probably the bad nail in the coffin. And we got in the cab, and he passed out in the cab. And so we're all sitting there. He's not really doing a whole lot. And we're going back and forth, and he has completely passed out, isn't really saying anything. We get almost there, and we're like, maybe if we get him some food. So we get him some McDonald's. We have to pay the cab driver to take us to McDonald's and get him food. He eats. We go to Atlantis, and he had passed out again. So we decide to send him back to the hotel by telling him, hey, tell us how you get back to the hotel room. So he goes through the whole thing, go to the elevator, this, that, and the other. We send him off. We have a great time. By the time we're done, we have decided in our, fun, drunken stupor that we're going to go back, wake him up, and then we're all going to go skinny dipping. So we get back to the hotel. He should be in the room. We open the room, and there's just a smell.
What kind of smell?
Well, use your imagination.
I'm guessing vomit.
Vomit or poop?
So the first thought obviously would be vomit, right? That would have been better than what it was, I feel like. So we walk in. He's asleep. There's two beds. He's asleep in one bed, and on the other bed and on the floor are two of the most perfect turds I have ever seen in my life.
What do you mean perfect? I mean perfect as far as length and size and how he tapered him at the end?
Or what? This way. This guy was so drunk, he like couldn't even come out with us.
Well, yeah, he pooped in the hotel room.
By himself, and he was drunk, but he was not drunk enough to lay down the most perfect little log that I have ever seen.
Well, maybe he did it because he was drunk. Maybe when he's sober, he has ugly poops.
I've never heard someone describe poop in such a positive way.
It was kind of nice looking. I mean, if it wasn't such a terrible situation, it would have been like, wow, that's a pretty good looking
Would you have taken a photograph of it if you would have birthed it yourself?
Okay. I totally would have.
Right. But I like that in spite of
it. One on the bed, one on the floor, and he was just completely packed out. And the best part of it is, that night and to this day, he will say that he did not do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
come those on. People always do that.
Yeah, he walked in the hotel room and someone already pooped there.
No, he said that he was drunk and the hotel staff had to take him to his room and he thinks that they did it.
He thinks that the staff of a hotel, they're the ones
that have to clean it up. Like, it's probably not the maid that pooped on your bed because she's the one that has to deal with it.
I would assume a maid wouldn't take him back to the room, but one of the bellhops who don't have to clean the room, they were like,
still not going to poop in your room. Still not going to poop in your room. I like that he had the presence of mind, though, to move to the clean bed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, okay. So, like, as far as drinking, I drank quite a bit at Atlantis. And you don't realize there's lots of pools. There's lots of outdoor bars. I'm with kids.
You're like
so.
Half underwater, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm getting my drink on.
How old are your kids at the time?
They're younger. I mean, that was when my daughter climbed up that pyramid tower, and like we got up there, and I wanted to back out, but like she's like, "Let's go, Dad!" I'm like, "Oh God!" So they give you a card, which is the key to your room, and she was saying that it's expensive to go there.
Yeah.
All right. So I knew what the rooms cost. I knew all that. I knew that that wasn't cheap. We got one room with two beds and all that deal. But the way that they work this gimmick, all right, your room key is the only thing that you can use to buy anything on the property.
Ah, so they just charge
you
everything.
So if you go to the pool bar, you just give the key. You know what I mean? They run the key. If you go get lunch, they run the key.
That's thinking.
If you want to play a game, you put that card in the machine and you play, right? You never touch money, you never touch your credit card, you never touch anything.
Do you have any idea how much you're spending at any one time?
You don't have
like there's no price.
You can see the prices up there,
right.
But you don't realize how fast.
It doesn't seem
like you're spending anything because
you don't even have a receipt, right?
You have nothing. You know what I mean? You might sign for your...
Sure.
Maybe you do get a receipt. It doesn't matter. You still don't realize what you're doing. And then at the end, they slide that paper. I about had a freaking heart attack under your door. I'm like, oh, God. Every shot was $12.
Surprise.
Holy Christ. That hot dog was $15. Right. Oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I don't normally read an itemized bill, but I was like, how did we get here? How did this happen?
You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ. Petting a dolphin is that much?
Wait, they charge you to pet the dolphin.
If you go to the Dolphin Cove, you have to pay to do that. They say when the dolphin flips over.
Wait, what is it like? But what does a dolphin... Like, I'm not dying to pet a dolphin. Maybe I'm weird.
You go out and you kind of hang out with the dolphin for a while, right?
But I mean, what do you do?
Well, the dolphin
You're
comes
in
up,
water and there's
you,
a dolphin.
And he talks, he comes up, and then you pet him and you give him like a, you know, like a
frickin'. Can you touch his blowhole?
You give him a little sardine, you know what I mean?
Not if you don't want him to be excited.
That's exactly right.
Wait, what?
Well, okay, the
dolphins and humans have a very central relationship.
The dolphins want you to pet
them. I don't.
In particular, this dolphin.
But I know nothing about that.
But as the trainer explained to me, all right, he's like, look.
If you touch his blowholes, you get
well,
direction?
Well, you need about 5 inches. So you can pet him down. When you pet him, you can pet him from, you know, like his flippers down for the most part. But then you can clearly see where the action area is.
Okay.
Now, if you go down too far.
It's kind of gross.
You can stimulate the dolphin. All right.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Now, this
stimulate
guy.
Stimulate the dolphin.
This guy,
do not grab the dolphin's genitalia.
The reason why.
What are you guys doing in here? Are you stimulating the dolphin?
The reason is because the dolphin will flip around.
Yeah.
He will grab your leg and he will pull you down under. And he will pull you down there to try to have sex with you. Yeah, exactly.
So those
get some flipper in your zipper.
And like, and so the end of it. So at the end of it, I asked the guy, because we're pretty cool now at this point. You know what I mean? Like, how many times is this dolphin actually? He's like, 6 times this month.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, God. He's like, well, he does like 6-7, you know, interactions a day. You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah. Somebody gets picked.
Oh, yeah. He's like, sometimes it's just the person. So he said, sometimes it's just the person.
So wait, I don't even touch his blowhole. I'm just sexy.
And you have to just yank, you know, like grab a hold of your family members so they don't get freaking, you know what I mean, taken under.
Like, why is that okay? I mean, like, if you went to a petting zoo and they said, listen, kids, when you pet the sheep, if you pet it too close to the eyes, it's going to mount you from behind.
Right, yeah.
People would say, hey, you know what? Let's not do this. But if it's a dolphin, somehow he's going to drag you underwater and try to have sex with you.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, is the blowhole, is that one of his spots?
No. It's on the belt.
It's on the belt.
I get that part, man.
You can do whatever you want on the top. You know what I mean? Top's fine.
Yeah, so I mean, technically, you probably mess with the blowhole.
I mean, I wouldn't stick your finger down there. I wonder how much that's. You know, sometimes
I'm not going to stick my finger.
Sometimes you reach into your belly button, and you go, God damn, it stinks. Jesus Christ, I should wash in there more.
You think a dolphin's blowhole?
I bet it's just rank.
It's got to be. They say like when certain whales breach and they blow all that stuff out, they said like it's amazing, it's beautiful. Then the smell hits you, and you're like, this is effing disgusting.
I got a dolphin fun fact.
What's that?
Flipper.
All right,
the actual flipper.
Right. We know what he know him as. The sound effect that Flipper had was the same sound effect as the gopher and Caddyshack.
That's yeah, just true.
And I watched Caddyshack last night.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't. Yep, it is.
Yeah.
I know that sound from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Fun fact.
The dolphin that I got to stroke was relocated from Katrina. So he'd been moving around. You know what I mean? He wasn't an aquarium.
Watch your hands when you rub on my belly. So why do you have to tell people not
escaped,
to touch
no,
him?
No, he escaped. He escaped the aquarium.
And they recaptured him?
Well, he showed up and started being like, yap, 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 yap. And I guess they're tagged and chipped and all that crap.
Yeah.
So they knew exactly where the hell he was.
Why do you have to tell people not to touch? So the dolphin flips on its back. I can see dolphin genitalia. And they have to tell people not to stroke that.
Oh, yeah.
You have to tell people
now, this is years
not to grab a dolphin's penis. I mean, my God, man.
Now, this
There's
is
just
I don't know if it's like grabbing it, but it's just like, don't even
don't
go.
Don't brush it.
Don't go
it's
that far.
It's a dolphin penis. Why would you have to explain that to anybody? Hey, see its penis? Yeah, don't touch it.
But in all truth.
Jesus Christ.
All truth aside.
Wouldn't already assume that?
So this is many, many years ago. So, of course, like recently, I see like the Cove. The movie about the dolphins and all that crap.
Oh,
and I'm like, man. I'm never paying for anything like that again.
Yeah,
that was
dude,
horrible.
It is terrible.
That's terrible. I should not be doing that. I don't know why I did that. Like, you know, like in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I funded that crap. You know what I mean? At the time, it seemed great.
Yeah.
Here's a refrigerator magnet with me and a dolphin and the kids.
See, next time, grab his penis. Right, make it worth his time. Make it worth the dolphin's time.
Now I'm like anti-SeaWorld and stuff. Yeah. What is the story you tell where alcohol was involved? 844-999-OLA. More your calls on the way. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
There's a 48-year-old guy. His name is Nguyen, and he lives in Vietnam. And doctors saved his life on Christmas by pumping him full of beer. Here is what happened. Apparently, Nguyen had been drinking alcohol, but not the kind we normally drink. He was drinking methanol, which is the kind that's used to make things like formaldehyde, antifreeze, paint thinner, and gasoline. Beer, however, is a different type of alcohol. It is ethanol. So the doctors knew that if they fed this guy beer, it would keep his liver busy enough processing the ethanol to keep it from fully processing the methanol, which would kill the guy. So they wound up pumping him full of 15 cans of beer, which gave them enough time to get the methanol out of his system and save his life.
I mean, that's good thinking.
15 cans of beer.
Yeah, I have a friend, and his girlfriend works in an ER department, and they have to keep like a 12-pack around for people that are like, there's some people that like drink so much.
So they don't go into shock, basically?
Or something, yeah. It's like they physically will give them a beer.
Hmm. How often do they refresh that 12-pack? I mean, you know, it does have a shelf life.
It is. You know what the problem is? It's like the high school trainer that keeps candy bars.
Right.
In case there's like a diabetic kid.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't want to be the person that ate the random candy bar. So me and my buddy are always like, well, nobody's drinking them. Can we drink them? And she's like, yeah, but, like, if somebody needed them and they weren't here, that would...
We'd feel bad then.
Yeah.
I want to say that veterinarians, too, there's something with vodka or something else where if a dog eats something, that there's an alcohol out there that will neutralize their system. I don't know if it's like chocolate. I can't remember what the... There's something that a dog should not eat. And if they do eat it, the best way to save their life is by giving them, I think, vodka.
I think dogs would prefer Beefeat or gin based on names alone.
Sure,
but
sure.
That's just me.
What is the story you tell where alcohol was involved? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How you guys doing today?
Doing good, man.
Good stuff.
So, what's your story?
What up?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey. Yeah, we got you, man. What's the story you tell where alcohol was involved?
So, back when I was living in Maryland, around my junior year of high school, maybe sophomore, a buddy of mine had decided to have a little get-together featuring a lot of alcohol. And for a little bit of reference, at this point, I only weighed about 110 pounds.
Jesus.
And a couple hours into the party, you know, we're all feeling good. Forget how it came up. Somebody had suggested I try to slam four Four Locos.
Four Four Locos.
Indeed.
Okay. Indeed. We call it a 16 Loco.
It was a good idea, but my buddy, being my buddy, said, no, don't do that. It's not a good idea. I don't like being told not to do things. So, I did it. A little bit after slamming the...
That's a real quote.
Colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother... And please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
Ted versus the FCC, coming up.
All right, so we got your exact quote there, Nick.
All right, so I said, you know, F you, I did it, and then next thing I know, I'm waking up the next day in a cornfield.
By yourself?
By myself, correct. Super, super confused. I look down, I'm wearing some flip-flops and some jeans. My left pant leg is just ripped off and gone right at about mid-thigh. And, I'm looking around, don't know where I am, start walking. Pick a direction and started walking. Ended up at a road, a little two-lane byway. Eventually, guy comes up, pulls over and says, hey, man, you need a ride.
What gave it away?
I'm Malachi.
Right. So, hop in, he's like, all right, where am I taking you? Tell him the town name. And he goes, well... You're about 35 miles away.
Jesus.
Still to this day, I don't know how I got there.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. That makes me happy.
You didn't walk. You didn't walk there. That's a fact.
Well, I might have, you know.
But when you said you woke up in a cornfield, I'm like, what part of Maryland were you in?
Eastern Shore.
Oh.
Or Western Maryland. One of the
or
two.
Or Southern
Where
Maryland.
Were you?
Right at about Manchester, so it's about... North Central, I guess.
Okay. That may, if you're on your way to Pennsylvania, yeah. It makes mm-hmm. sense you're in Cornfield. Listen, I have a similar story. Jolly Joe asked me to tell this, but the same thing where you wake up in a situation and your memory ends at some point and there's nothing that fills in the blanks and no witnesses. And I've told the story before, and I'll just crush it down. At a party, it was a work party right before Christmas, I believe. I remember leaving the party. I was going to walk to my girlfriend's house at the time. She lived maybe 9 blocks away. Anyway, fast forward, I wake up the next morning. I'm in somebody's front yard. I don't know who the person is, but it's 2 or 3 doors away from my girlfriend's place, but it's a front yard. But it was a corner lot at the intersection of a very busy part of Baltimore City, right near Johns Hopkins University. But I wake up, I have my boots on, but I'm butt naked except for my boots and a motorcycle helmet. except I didn't own a motorcycle, nor did I own a motorcycle helmet. And it takes me a minute to figure this out. Like, you wake up.
Do you think someone stole your clothes?
Absolutely. So I wake up, you sit, and I recognize where I'm at, right? Because I know the city, and then I kind of feel my head because just things are wrong. And I'm like, what the hell? It's a motorcycle helmet. People are honking at me because now there's this black dude butt naked just kind of sitting on this dewy grass trying to get his act together. So I walk down the street, knock on the girlfriend's door, and I always remember when she opened the door, she cracked it a little bit to see, and she jumps back like 10 feet and kind of screams. Because basically, I look like a guy from Daft Punk with no clothes on. Mm-hmm. Say, and I'm like, hey, it's me. She's like, why are you wearing a motorcycle helmet? And I'm like, I don't know. Just let me in the house. So she let me, and I had to wear her shorts and one of her shirts till I could get home and change. And to this day, absolutely, positively.
Did you lose your wallet or everything?
Everything. I could not tell you what happened. I have absolutely, positively no idea. But yeah, so somebody gave me a motorcycle helmet in exchange for my clothes. But I have no idea what happened.
What is the story you tell where alcohol was involved? 844-999-OLA.
That Daft Punk show was intense.
Yeah.
Dudes ended up naked.
Years before Daft Punk even existed, yeah. There I was.
Nobody knows what they look like, but we all know what their penises do now.
Yeah. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, my story
yes.
started out with, I was in a fraternity in Texas, and it was initiation night. We just initiated a new group of people, and we go to our favorite bar hop, and we're sitting there, and I've been known to be able to drink and not get drunk. So, we sit there, and they're like, oh, we don't believe you, we don't believe you. So, I was like, all right, let's do it. So, I put my credit card down, and I was like, all right, I'm going to start a tab. And I'm going to drink for 2 hours, and we're going to see how I do for the night. So I sit there, and 2 hours go by, and I'm drinking nonstop. I'm mixing beer, liquor, the whole works, doing shots, everything you can think of. Within that 2 hours, I spent $500.
Damn.
Spent the whole night perfectly fine, never got drunk. Everyone just thought it was just the greatest thing in the world. And then later on down the couple of roads, I've got a couple of friends that still didn't believe me. So they started putting their money down a couple of times when we went out bar hopping. And most of the time they gave up after a couple of hours.
You think your body metabolizes alcohol differently?
Oh, most anything for me. Like even like Vicodin and that. I could take Vicodin and it'd do nothing for me.
Yeah, so but that strips the fun out of life. Like, the beauty of drinking, sometimes you just want to drink to get the edge off. Other times, you're going to drink to get a little bit drunk, have a good time. People that don't have a prescription for Vicodin, like, you want it to get high. You want to feel different. So if you don't, I mean, do you even get any pleasure out of doing it?
Nowadays, when I drink for the taste. I enjoy mixing, like, the flavors. If I'm eating food or something, I like pairing stuff. But
so
I don't
Bud Light's out, I guess.
Drink for that.
But you, yeah. But you don't even get it. You don't even get a slight buzz.
No, nothing.
Wow, that's weird, man. I mean, mm-hmm. If the doctor yeah. ever said, "Hey, you inhuman son of a bitch, this is why you don't metabolize alcohol."
No, I've never really figured it out. I've always just thought that's just me. Bunch of my friends back in Texas, they always called me the. Freak of nature or the science experiment gone wrong.
And that's just looking at you.
Reason. What was that?
So that's just from looking at you.
So you've never had a hangover?
Nope.
You son of a bitch.
I sat there and, I mean, like I said, I had bottles of vodka that I had drank in that night. At least a case. I had a case and a half of Shiner Bock that I was drinking throughout the
Shiner
whole time
Bock.
I was drinking. Yep.
I mean, have you ever talked to a doctor about it, though? Because it still can't be healthy. It might not affect you where you're acting like a fool, right? But, I mean, alcohol is still not doing your body any favors.
Yeah. I mean, technically, if I still took a breathalyzer or anything with that, I'd still pop. But the simple fact is it doesn't affect me the way everyone else gets affected.
How about weed? Does weed do anything for you?
Never smoke the stuff.
Okay. All right, so you don't know about that.
What about PCP?
You said Vicodin.
PCP, man. I don't know anyone above it.
I don't do drugs. So, I mean, the most I'll do is I'll smoke cigars and scotch is most of what I do today.
All right.
It's just a bottle of vodka and a case of beer, but not a drug.
We'll not do drugs.
By the way, Miles, you were saying with dogs, the thing with vodka. A bunch of people are saying specifically if your dog drinks antifreeze, which a lot
is
of
that, is that what it is?
Dogs or cats think of the antifreeze toxicity, and they're saying so the vodka does something. It prevents
same,
it from
same thing, probably.
It prevents it from crystallizing in the animal's kidneys. Yeah, and this one person says, dude, I work at the vet. We give vodka IVs to treat antifreeze toxicity in cats and dogs all the time.
That was my next question.
What's that?
How do you get the dog, like, you just hold his mouth and, like, make him chug the vodka?
No, dude, it's if you've never seen the painting of the dogs playing poker? You pour him a
snifter.
With
the pool. Dogs playing pool.
That's right. I forgot they play pool as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very simple.
Yeah, Tigger always liked to mix his with soda water and a little bit of lime.
I need a vodka IV, Doc, right here.
Are you drinking antifreeze on purpose?
Ro?
Raggy?
So sweet. So delicious.
Ro?
What is the story you tell where alcohol wasn't involved? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Harry. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitcholas.
Hola.
All right, I got along for you, but hang in there. So, me and my buddies were about 19 years old, and my parents gave me some tickets to the Hawks game for my birthday. It's Thursday night game, so it's late at night, 5 o'clock. So I'm going with my one friend, and then we have two other buddies that we're going with. Their seats are, like, up in the 300 level. So on the way down, me and my buddy that I'm going with, we finish a bottle of Rumplemintz. He drinks the majority of it, hence the story. And so we get to the game a little bit late, kind of second quarter, and we're sitting there, and I look over at my buddy, and he starts wobbling, doing the wobbles. So I have him sit down, and I'm watching the game, and then halftime rolls around, and he's still sitting there, and I'm, like, standing up looking at the game or whatever. And the people in front of us turn around and start looking at me. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Like, don't mind my friend kind of wobbling. I look down. He's vomiting, throwing up at the seats. It's getting on the people in front of us.
Oh, I think I've set aside you guys before.
So I get my buddy, and I'm like, all right, we got to get out of here. So I walk him up to the stairs. Alcohol enforcement is waiting for us. And so they put him in a wheelchair. They're wheeling him, like, to the bathrooms. We're getting passed by people, like, yelling at him, like, oh, I've been there. Like, oh, this guy can't hold his liquor. And so we get him into the bathroom, and I look under the stall, and he's just sitting on the ground. His face is laying on the toilet seat at the stadium, which is disgusting. And so we finally get him out of the bathroom, and we get him back in the wheelchair, and we start wheeling him outside. And alcohol enforcement's like, where do you want him? And we're waiting for our other two buddies that are at the game. I look around. There's a nice little grassy knoll outside of the stadium. I say, you can just dump him here. So they literally just dump him on the grass in front of the stadium. People are still, like, walking by, heckling us. And finally, my other two buddies meet up with us. He can't stand still. He's still, like, out of it. So me and my other two buddies have to literally pick him up and drag him to our car, which is on the other side of the stadium. And so we're, like, walking him over there. His shoes fall off. We have to pick those up and carry him still. There's, like, cops walking by us, just, like, giving us these crazy looks. And we finally get him in the car after he's been wheeled out of the stadium. And we're like, well, now what do we do? So me and my other two buddies are like, well, we're still feeling it. Why don't we go to a strip club? So we go to the strip club.
Yes.
And we go back outside probably like an hour or two later, and our buddy is just now starting to wake up out of his, like, blackout and pass out. And so after he wakes up and realizes, like, what's going on, he has missed calls from his girlfriend, texts, like, where are you, what's happening, we finally decide, all right, it's probably time to go home. So we go home at, like, 1 in the morning after a very eventful Seahawks game.
That's probably the most exciting thing that's ever happened on Thursday night NFL football.
God, the way they line those games.
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Like, it's just awful. We had the guy that called and said he could drink all the booze. He doesn't get drunk. Somebody said he might have Gilbert's disease, all right? So I looked it up. It looks like Gilbert is pronounced Zilbeyer syndrome. It's a common harmless liver condition, which the liver does not properly process something I can't pronounce right now, produced by the breakdown of red blood cells. So apparently, if you have this, said it happens in males mostly, if you have this condition, you're unlikely to get drunk, basically because your liver just can't do the job.
So does he just like bypass the liver and he just pees it all out?
I guess. You know, I'm getting through it a little bit, but essentially, if that's what he has, that would that would explain why he could drink so much.
Okay. I think it's insane that he still drinks. Like, I don't know. I get I would still probably drink a beer just for, like, to do it.
For taste, sure.
But that, it seemed like he was trying to get drunk and just can't.
Which would piss me off. I've never had that problem. I've tried not to get drunk and got drunk a lot.
You think you'd have a slight buzz or just anything. You know what I mean? Something. What is the story you tell where alcohol was involved? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, sir.
So I'm going to let you know, my name's not really John. I'm going to give you the alias that most of the people who know this story and who were there know me by, and it's College. The reason that it's College is because I was wearing that Animal House shirt at the time that says College right across the front of it.
Right,
okay. Once upon a time, back when I was in college, I went to a school that's well known locally for having some pretty grandiose and really exciting parties. And I went through the vast majority of the year, and nothing was really happening. And it had me kind of down. So I decided that I wanted to throw the biggest party that anybody had ever dreamed of, like Project X style of party. Recipe for disaster. There are a lot of people who said that you can't do that sort of thing because if there's a fight of some kind, who's going to break it up? It could turn into a brawl. It could turn into something really rough, right? Now, regardless, I decided to put the thing together. We lined up three kegs to be there. We lined up 14 DJs. We lined up two bands, all to come out and play live. Then I have a friend who goes by the name of Fatty who said he would be my security person to make sure that nothing went downhill fast.
Thank you, Fatty.
Well, it turns out, yeah, thank you so much, Fatty. And thank you even more because it turns out that Fatty got really belligerent during the party and all of his pull that he had over the way that the party worked went to his head. He got mega belligerent and he actually started the fight, which was a problem.
Classic Fatty.
Yes. 2,000 people ended up at this party. And it turned into something that was sort of nightmarish. But the way that it began, Fatty walked over to me and he was just absolutely covered in blood. And so I started running over to where the brawl began. And it was two women fighting. Cat fight. Everybody loves a good cat fight, right?
Sure.
And lots of hair pulling, lots of people gathered around. But one of them had beat the hell out of Fatty. And this girl reaches into her pocket and she pulls out some mace. You guys are familiar with those little keychain mace cans that you've got, right?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
This was not one of those. This woman was a down-home country, bow hunting, she's got bear mace in her car kind of person. And she rips out some bear mace and just starts macing everyone. And we're trying to break this fight up, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And some guy stands up on top of a truck, and he goes, "Hey!" And everyone stops moving all at the same time. And he holds up this big old set of baling twine and a whole bunch of wire. And the crowd rushes in on these three to four people who are fighting, grabs them, ties them down to trees with the baling twine. And they are stuck there for the rest of the evening because we couldn't kick them out of the woods, but we could certainly make them stay.
What? I can't kick you out of the woods.
But kidnapping is the next best option.
Don't knock kidnapping so quickly.
Okay.
There's an extenuating circumstance every time.
What is the story you tell where alcohol was involved? 844-999-OLA. More of your calls on the way. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Follow along with this one. Police say a burglar is in custody in Hoboken, New Jersey, after a wild crime spree in Hoboken that had a number of twists and turns.
Hoboken.
Okay, along the way. It all started when authorities say the man wearing a construction jacket broke into a pizzeria through the roof. He tried to break an ATM to steal cash, but was unsuccessful. Then he went back in and took 24 bottles of Snapple. The suspect tried to use a fire extinguisher then to break out through the front door, only to find the roll-down gate had closed. So he was trapped. He climbed back up, crawled through a common attic, and dropped into the nail salon next door, then proceeded to steal some money from the salon. Upon then realizing he was trapped in that location again, he climbed back up into the crawl space and went into the liquor store next to the nail salon, according to investigators. Well, after stealing liquor from the store, he broke a 6-foot hole and went into the dollar store, where he again was unable to escape. In the end, police say he drank the liquor and fell asleep on the shelf. The dollar store proprietor found him at about 10 a.m. and called police. Benny Ramirez of Union City was arrested and charged with 4 counts of burglary, 3 counts of theft, 4 counts of criminal mischief, burglary tools, and hindering apprehension. There was $10,000 in damage in the pizzeria alone, from the dining area to the back of the kitchen.
Only $1 at the dollar store.
The money taken from the registers exceeded $2,000, but he got drunk and fell asleep on a shelf.
But he had a fire extinguisher. He couldn't break it through the front door. I would think that's pretty fail-safe, right?
Well, the problem was that they had a roll-down gate.
Never mind.
He's just banging through a roll-down gate.
How did he not know that, though?
Basically, he broke into a strip mall.
Yeah.
He could get from place to place, but all the doors are the same in the front, and he could not figure out how to get out.
Come on, man. You don't rob places with the roll-down. I mean, if you're going to rob them, you got to do it while they're still open for business.
Our question, what is the story you tell where alcohol was involved? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Joey. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, so this story, it was back in Vegas, and it was actually my 21st birthday. So I had about 3 of my friends. They're all like, hey, let's get together, you know, go to your place, get drunk. You know, it's your first time. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So we all get together. We order pizza. We get a bunch of tequila, a bunch of vodka. I had no idea what I was doing. It was your basic drinking first night. But so the following morning, I wake up, all I taste is tequila, my head hurts, I'm very clearly hungover, and we look around, and one of our friends is missing, and we figure, you know, he went home early, or he woke up and just, like, went outside or something, and so we actually went to the bathroom, and there we found his phone, his wallet, and his clothes. So we immediately start the search to try and find where he went. We go outside. We check the neighborhood. We check my backyard. We check everything. He's nowhere to be found. So we then, and it's about 117, 118. I'm the beginning of a hangover, walking around the desert air. And we check the entire neighborhood, like my entire block. Still nowhere to be found. We start panicking.
Hello.
And so we end up calling his parents, letting him know.
How much time had passed before you called his parents?
I would say about an hour or two.
Okay.
Like, because we had split up and we had tried to find them and we couldn't find him.
And how much of the story do you share? I mean, do you say, like, look, not only is he missing, but there's a good chance he's naked?
Oh, we reset everything. We were panicking. We're just like, we had no idea. His mom had answered, by the way. His mom had actually immediately called the police. So now the police had come to our house, you know, to talk to us. And we had gotten an update that they had actually, like, I would say about 40 minutes in after the police had arrived, we had gotten an update that they had found him about 6-7 blocks away, naked behind a gas station.
Wait.
Probably went there for snacks.
Was he passed out or was he conscious when they got there?
I from what I was told, he had apparently woken up and went into the convenience store.
Because that's what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not have liked to be on that shift.
No. Listen, I mean, if he's only 6 or 7 blocks away, you'd think he would know where he is. So at that point, if you're naked, having been there before, like for me, the girlfriend's house is down the street. This guy, you wake up, my buddy lives a couple blocks away. It wasn't, man, oh man, I'm thirsty. Let me hit 7-Eleven first while I'm still naked before I get this settled. Right? It just seems to me, if you wake up somewhere and you're naked and you're not in bed next to whoever you scored last night, like, go get dressed first before you do anything else.
Getting naked is not my move. You know what I mean? Like, I have no problem with it at home. But that's not the first thing I think of, like, when I'm drunk. Like, I'm taking off my clothes.
But you don't know that. That's the problem. When you get that stupid drunk, like, most of the... It's not in my mind to kidnap people. But I got drunk once. Well, I've gotten drunk many times, but once... And then I kidnap someone. And you say, like, look, normally, I don't kidnap.
I get it.
But yeah, alcohol, times, man.
Yeah, people are just so wasted. Like, I don't know. I don't get naked either, but I definitely woke up. It's like I took off my pants and the underwear came off. I just like,
right.
And then it's just like, oh, I'm laying here naked on the couch.
Yeah, it looked like you evaporated in a pile of clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Floor, you know what I mean? Like shoes in the same right. place. Our question, what is the story you tell where alcohol was involved?
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.